something we established in our annual retreat was to deal with our budget deficit. And the deficit last year, looks like a deficit this year, maybe slight, maybe more than slight, possibly a deficit next year. And we came up with three task forces to address these issues. One was the revenue enhancement. So what can we do on the revenue side? What can we do? And then the other was expense reduction. What can we do on the expense side? And then possible sources of revenue for the annex. That's the third. And what we agreed to that weekend was that there were no sacred cows, that we would explore all our options no matter how politically acceptable they were or not. At the very least, we're going to explore them. So, I am going to open it up to the Revenue Enhancement Task Force, which was composed of Pat McLaughlin, Cindy Kendall, and I assume there were no others from the community involved, give us an overview.
All right, I'll jump in. Of course, the overriding thing to notice for all of us is that the taxes, the income from the property tax, ad valorem, ad valorem is the word, and the police tax is, and the small landscape and mining thing, that's 95% of our revenues. So, if you look at what we can do to increase revenues, increasing revenues in the other categories, rentals, fee services, and miscellaneous, is a very small percentage compared to the taxation. So, we came to conclusion one, that property taxes of this economic times are not going to really increase significantly, we don't expect. And we can do nothing about it. We have no control over that. That's all been decided by higher powers. Police tax, that is something we do have control over. And so if it turns out that in order to balance the budget or at least the cost of running the police side of the charge, of our charge, that is our that is where we need to go. And our recommendation is that, in fact, that we do plan on putting the tax increase on the ballot. The amount to be determined after analysis of the various committee reports. In terms of landscape and mining, again, as we already know, what we are, the $28,800 that we collect now and the slight increase that we will be getting in the near future is just slightly over half of the actual costs of maintaining the park. And therefore, it was our recommendation that we also consider putting on the ballot a tax increase to cover the cost of maintaining the property. And although there's been talk in the past about the possibility of using the funds for improvements, that is for enhancements, what we put here in our recommendation at this point, that new and improvements should be really at this present time, not necessarily holding to the future, at this present time, should be considered to be covered by grants and donations rather than by any tax increase. Do you want to talk about rentals?
If you know.
I think, Pat, that you, I mean, the main thing, there's more in here about the smaller items that are 5% of our revenue, and if people need to know about those or want to know, we can talk about those, but really, you hit the nail on the head. I think that if we need to fix our budget problems by increasing revenue, we have to go to the voters. That's pretty much the recommendation.
This committee has no basis to recommend any kind of an amount, but as cities, succinctly said, if we need to raise revenues, this is really where it's going to have to be. It's always the same.
Yeah, I think the amount is, it's sort of a combination of the expense side, if there's anything we can do on the expense side, and then how we take a look at our budget for the next couple of years.
And to some degree, you know, the lawyers should tell us something.
May I just make one comment? I want to commend this committee for the statement that no new improvements should be funded at the present time by grants and donations, and understand that to do something of a large capital nature at this time, when we're looking at a possible deficit, etc., I think that's very wise, and that will go over very well with the taxpayers.
Well, that was our
thought. Well, that's because you're so wise, both of you.
I have a question, and it's following on what Gloria says here. As the new improvements, of course, we do have access to Measure W, then we can pay for a good, but that's not a grant or a donation. That's actually, the point is we have access to that as well.
Well, possibly you want to add one category, then sure.
I considered that.
Yeah, our intention was to include that WWE
under that umbrella. So
you're right.
Found money, let's say.
Yeah. Found money.
Anyway, we'll take public comment on each individual piece. Do you have a question on Mr. Head raised?
Well, no. It was helping me think. Were you, Bill? It seems like your piece fits in here.
It's related.
Oh, related. Okay. I'm waiting for yours.
Okay. I'm going to open up to public comment on the revenue piece, and then we'll go back and talk about the expense reduction piece and open that public comment. So, John Stein.
I would have a question and maybe a point of clarification. I agree with the overall comment about the taxes, especially the property taxes. And I'm sort of guessing that the property taxes make up maybe like 60% of the revenue.
Let's go to
the
budget.
It's right here. It's right here.
60 to 70%?
No, it's more than that.
So one thing that would help the voters a great deal, it would help me a great deal. So I think it would help me, it probably would help a lot of other people, is if we had some sense of what's happened over time with property taxes. So as an example, if 10 houses are sold in Kensington on average, and if on average the tax base doubles, let's just say the tax base doubles on those 10 houses. So taxes go from $5,000 to $10,000. Then you might be able to make a relatively safe assumption to say that if you're going to sell 10 houses a year and your property taxes are going to go up by $5,000 per house based on what's happened over the last 1, 2, 5 years, it would be safe to say that your revenue from property taxes is going to go up something.
Yeah, okay. That's correct.
And I think trying to determine how much money the district needs and also trying to be able to explain to people where the district gets its money, it would be helpful to have a sense of how much of an increase there is. And then you could put in something like that, you know, the economy is very bad right now, so take what's happened over the last 5 years and cut it in half, or cut it by three quarters. Again, just to make an assumption, a reasonable assumption, and that would give everybody a reasonable sense of, okay, property taxes are going to grow a little bit because we're not going to go to zero sales per year. There's going to be turnover.
Yeah. Yeah. People are also asking for reassessment of their property values, and so they are going down.
And you could
it's not just...
You could certainly take that into account.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm just saying we need a little more meat behind the taxes are out of our control. I mean, yes, they are, but there is a story.
I agree there is a story, and there's more that can be seen.
Okay.
Thank you.
John, there's another piece of that. The property taxes that each of us pay, I think, and it varies from year to year, but just about 22%. Do you know the figure this year? Greg comes back to the...
Yeah, that's just part of the equation. The property tax, you know, you sell new houses and the property taxes go up and we get a percentage of it, and because there's a bad economy, and how much it...
No, I understand. Yeah. And you're saying that there's a way that we can put a little more detailed numbers.
Well, when you ultimately go to present why you need a tax increase, especially in today's economic environment, you really want to be able to clearly show what's going on. And this is. Okay.
Thank you.
Correct.
Some of what I have to say is a little nitpicky. When we talked about these things before, we talked about revising the police tax so that there wouldn't be a COLA in Bonner, which there hasn't been. On the park, to expand that to what's called the old park as well as the new park. And a couple of things that I have brought up from time to time. This district does not charge for copies. One of the things that we have gone over on budget several years is the contract amount on the copy. Every other public agency that I can think of where I could go on and ask for copies of agenda items or whatever, it's been a pretty standard 10 cents a page. Now, this might not amount to a lot, but it also might help offset that recurring additional expense for the copier that the district seems to incur every year because we go over the contracted number of copies. The Brown Act open meeting thing, I think the state has suspended those payments. We probably need to keep sending in those requests, and maybe they'll come up sometime. And yes, Kathy, I am going to mention the franchise fee. I think we need to consider changing that board resolution that limited the franchise fee funds to just expenses with garbage and recycling. There is no state law that mandates that that fund only be used for those purposes.
I guess it may be one more question, and maybe it was in your report, and maybe it wasn't. And that was with the investment of funds hadn't been getting any return at all in this bad economy.
Yes.
Okay. I was just looking here and asking myself which one was it. The interest?
Interest. Interest.
And so you did get slightly less than 2% interest on the investment of funds.
No, that percentage there is the percentage of our total revenues.
Oh, I see.
And I'd have to ask Greg because I don't have those figures. We're not getting the big number. I mean, the nice numbers we start out.
No surprise there. I'm going to move along to the expense reduction task force. And while asking for tax increases is a very unpopular thing, some of the items we look at here are also going to be equally unpopular. It was Chuck and I, and we met with Greg, and we looked at the budget, and we went through line item by line item and looking at costs of personnel and some of the other non-personnel costs. And we narrowed it down to three possible things we could do to cut our budget. There were other things we could do in terms of cost savings, but they were pretty minimal and probably not worth spending a lot of time talking about. First of all, is the expenses are higher than our revenues, so one way to cut them would be to cut staff. And we looked at the costs per officer by looking at all the line items in the budget that related to the 9 police officers and what the potential expenses would be next year given the current contract with the Kensington Police Officers Association. And we determined that the district could save $155,000 for every officer reduced from the payroll. And then a reduction of 2 officers would save approximately $310,000. And that those numbers start looking like the deficit that we have. Deficit's in the low hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, what does this really mean? You can talk about reducing headcount, but what it really means is reduction in coverage. And when we take a look at the coverage, the current coverage level is targeted at, and this doesn't mean that we have this coverage, but this seemed to be what we're hopefully staffing to, and there's some disagreement that even our current complement of officers even gets us to that coverage. But it's targeted at 2 officers on duty from 7 a.m. until 2 a.m. and 1 officer on duty from 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. So 2 for most of the clock, and then the wee hours of the morning, it's 1 officer. And that's 7 days a week.
I'm sorry, Bill, could you repeat those times?
Yes, from 7 a.m. until 2 a.m., we're targeting 2 officers on duty at all times. And then from 2 a.m. in the morning to 7 a.m. in the morning, we're targeting 1 officer on duty. Now, if we reduce 1 officer from our payroll, the coverage would get cut from Friday to Sunday every other week to 1 officer on duty at all times. And if we reduced by 2 officers, the coverage on Friday to Sunday would get cut every week to 1 officer. So basically going, if you think of a weekend as a long weekend, which would be nice, but a 3-day weekend every week, 1 officer around the clock. And that's basically what the dollar savings would result in reduced coverage. The second area of possible expense reduction would be to have the police department fold into and be managed by another agency. And the 2 agencies we looked at that seemed to be the ones worth thinking about would be the county sheriff or El Cerrito, the city of El Cerrito. And as we look at the county sheriff, we kind of discounted that, or we disregarded that pretty quickly, because the county sheriff costs are actually higher than Kensington costs. So we wouldn't save any money, we'd actually lose money if we wanted to maintain the existing level of coverage. If we entered into a management contract with the city of El Cerrito to manage our police department, we could expect to save approximately $300,000 a year. And this contract would be similar in manner to how the fire district contracts with the city of El Cerrito too. So it would be, the idea is that we would continue to pay for and equip the physical presence that we have, but the actual staffing would be managed under a city, the police office would be part of the city of El Cerrito police department, but we would contract for minimum levels of coverage in Kensington that we currently have. That said, all the figures we received from the city of El Cerrito and their police department discussions with them are very preliminary. We would require us to have extensive discussions regarding coverage and other expectations that we would have. And it's interesting that some of their analysis foots with some of Greg's analysis of last year, that even to maintain the level of coverage that we're targeting, that we think we have, we're short officers. It's interesting, I talked to other people in other cities who have governance positions, and it's very interesting the math around how many officers you need to have what appears to be fairly light coverage. But there are some pros and cons to this action. The con is that I think we in Kensington have, there's a large number of people in Kensington who value having locally controlled and managed police department. Because besides all the issues that we have on this board and in our meetings, we have this level of community policing that is truly sort of the ultimate definition of community policing, where the police officers maintain close relationships with the people in the community. And that's important for a number of reasons. On the other hand, there are some issues worth merit and worth discussion around being part of a larger police department and all of the attributes that affords us in terms of training and development and career opportunities for the police officers and attracting police officers and availing ourselves of all the great things a larger police department can bring to a community. Because there are issues with having a very small police department, and some of them have been manifested, and we're seeing some of that. So that was another area of review in conjunction with some discussions we've had with the city of El Cerrito. The third area of expense reduction has to do with non-personnel matters, and we went through with Greg, Chuck, and I, and mostly at Greg's instigation, but also through some of our review, that there are a fair number of items in our budget that can be cut from next year's budget. Items that we're not spending now, or we don't need to spend, and so we identified $48,000 of savings there. And we have some quantitative analysis for this that I believe we've all seen. Chuck, do you have any?
There's actually a fourth option which we discussed last Sunday, which is the potential merger of the two districts, but that's not on this list. The notion is we were trying to present, well, let me get some background, and I've said this before a couple of times. If we're going to go out to the community to ask for a tax increase, we have to show that we've explained to them all their alternatives and all their options, and they can make an informed decision. I think this community is way too smart to say vote for a property tax increase without knowing these facts and figures and seeing what the alternatives are. it's really a community issue what happens ultimately, but we wanted to present every option on the table so you can all see what we're facing and make a reasoned decision about what's appropriate for this town.
So, are there more questions or comments on the expense reduction options?
Well, I have a question. Since our biggest expense is personnel in the schools, and was the intention of this board to compensate our officers at the median, what is commonly known as the Ralph Anderson Survey of 18 like cities, like us, not Oakland, not San Francisco, and not Los Angeles, but El Cerrito, other small cities like ours. We are currently compensating our officers at the median plus 18%, which is quite a premium. And maybe somebody can refute those numbers, but I think I have excellent numbers. And I just think that needs to be addressed in an open and honest way.
The median plus 18%?
Wow.
Median, and I'm talking about the Ralph Anderson Survey of 18 cities, PET, which is the one that's commonly used. And as a, for instance, the city of El Cerrito gives total compensation of $130,000 a year to their officers, and we give $154,000 was the number I had. You said $155,000.
So that's an average? What, $130,000 for officers is an average?
Right.
Which is why a contract with them, they would provide the same coverage for $300,000 less.
Mm-hmm. So that's where that $300,000.
Again, it's all subject to a million variables.
Yes.
Regarding the 18%, we actually are, our contract with the Kansas Police Officers Association expires June of next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so June of this year, we would start the process of having those discussions and looking into those issues.
Is it done for you?
I need to speak.
Right. Are there any other board comments or questions about that? No. Other comments, go ahead.
Sure, and thank you. I'm saddened, but pleased to see that you have looked into a number of these things in great detail. I, for one, would hate to see any reduction in the staffing of our police department. But what I really wanted to speak to is that, once again, I see in talking about deficits, you're using that budget that I thought had been totally refuted by so many people as the budget was adopted. We, last year, remember, we almost had a group getting together for get the community behind increasing our taxes. They took a look at the budget and at the actual amount of money. You said we had a deficit last year, but they didn't come in right. The numbers weren't right. The people that we had helping us put together the budget admitted that they overstated expenditures because they didn't want to be wrong. This lady didn't want to be wrong. This budget is not much of a document to go on. But if you want one item to eliminate in the budget, because you say there's $400,000 deficit, how about that $230,000 for the park improvements? I mean, it just plain shouldn't be there. That's why I was so glad to hear Pat and Cindy's recommendation. And I'm sorry, I only saw this today, so I haven't had a chance to pull out my notes and go through all the notes that I had being a member of the Finance Committee. But certainly the $230,000
reduces the so-called deficit by quite a bit. I think there may be other numbers as well, maybe it's 48,000. I think it's just a pity. I hope that the budget process is better for the next year. I hope they get better. I mean, it's not just the finance committee, but the professional assistance that they get will be considerably better, and they'll feel a lot more comfortable about the budget.
Okay. And
being a bit of a dinosaur, I was on the board shortly after there had been a reduction in force and a reduction in pay for the officers. And when there was a reduction in force, there really was not much savings recognized by the department. Overtime increased, turnover increased, and as turnover increased, training costs increased, officers were ill more frequently, vacation times were a nightmare. It was a really difficult time for the department. And as I look at the scheduling that would result in the reduction in the number of officers, I'd be really concerned for the safety of our officers. The kind of crime that we're seeing in Kensington has increased in its frequency and in its violence. I would be really concerned about having our officers out one at a time. It concerns me that we have officers out one at a time now. And as their safety is compromised, so too is ours. So I really would hope that you would not consider the reduction of force.
John?
I think that
a couple of comments. I agree with Lynn. I didn't get into it before because I'm a lover, not a fighter. But you know, I think the police department is doing an incredibly good job. I've been covering that district for 28 years, and it's the best I can ever remember. And so my hat's off to Craig. So at least I just felt that needed to be said. But again, I wasn't going to say it with that. The group that was in here before wasn't the time. I do want to say two things, though, relative to this. One is I absolutely agree with Chuck's comment. I was going to bring it up about the possibility of looking at combining the two districts. On the one hand, we have a district, the fire district, that has a surplus. And one could say, or one could argue, that as a taxpayer, we're paying too much. On the other hand, we have a district, your district, which is short budget. So one could say we're not paying enough taxes. So I think if we take a step back, we really ought to consider, if the two districts come together, does it make more financial sense first? And then if it makes financial sense, does it make operational sense and cultural sense and administrative sense and governance sense? So there's a lot of work to do. But as a taxpayer, I don't want to be overpaying and then paying more. I'd rather have come together. Now, you all are in a funny position because you're fiduciaries of this district. However, if I could get you to get up and move to this side of the table, you're a taxpayer in this community, and so you have a sort of a higher calling, which is in your own selfish best interest, which is all of us have that calling. Okay. So in any event, somehow, some way, and I said the same thing to the fire district, we're going to have to find out really what the community wants, because quite candidly, I don't know that either board is going to be capable of getting out of their board fiduciary role and be very sort of tunnel focused, if you will. And if I were up here, I'd probably be the same way. But yeah, it's not going to work for the people of the community. I don't know that you have to have a big meeting. I think you could have a very, very simple survey with a handful of questions. you know, do you want to pay more money for police? Yes or no? If we can combine the two districts and not have to raise taxes, would that be appealing to you? Yes or no? So I think there's a handful of questions that could be asked, and then you would know how the community feels, and that would give both boards information that you clearly do not have. To hold a community meeting where 100 or 200 people out of 5,000 show up, I'm not sure that that's going to do it. And I don't think you guys want to have 10 or 15 meetings to try to get a real sense of what's going on. If you do a survey and send it to people's homes, you'll get hundreds of responses. And I think it can be a real simple document that will take, you know, all of 1 to 5 minutes to fill out. And you can even have one question can be comments and just get the comments. But I think you're going to have to do more than what you can do as a service district just worrying about police and park, because you're also taxpayers and you know, someone's got to rise above it all and say what's really right for the community. So thank you, Chuck, for bringing that up.
Thanks, Bill. Kathy.
Oh, these are some grim alternatives we're looking at. But, you know, I keep thinking probably if the best you could do is save $300,000 by contracting out. And we're not, this is not a surety, is it? Because the numbers aren't for our money. And this is for owners. Yes?
Nothing's firm about anything. This is directionally
very
correct.
Very preliminary. Directionally correct. Oh, I'll remember that. It sounds potentially useful. Anyway. Well, a couple points I have. First, I'll start with how for me personally, distasteful the prospect of reducing the police headcount is, and how also very distasteful the idea of not having our own Kensington police. Policing is a people business. I think it's really important to be able to, in a community this size, it's one of the things that people value. But it makes Kensington much nicer than, say, Oswego. But, and you mentioned the advantages of having a larger department that may have certain sophistication. But we did, our hiring committee did have the vision to hire a police chief from a larger department who really understands a lot more than what we, I think, traditionally have been doing here. But what I want to get to is that $300,000. Is that roughly speaking the kind of money that you have to put plus more probably, but in a tax increase that you have to ask for from the public?
Yeah, we'll finalize that, yeah.
Okay.
The finance committee needs to
get to work, yes, okay.
Well, we're working, but they need to finalize it.
But if, now you've got to really check my math here because it is my super weak spot. But if it's $300,000 a year and there's 2,500 households roughly in Kensington?
Okay,
I did it with 2,500. Mm-hmm. And I come up with $120 a year. $120 a year, which is what, $10 a month per household. If people saw that number and then weighted it against what they might stand to gain, I think it does put things in perspective. Also, I'd like to mention that once you do contract out, if you choose to do that, you become very vulnerable to two things. In our case, you become vulnerable to annexation, because when El Cerrito is providing both your services, your fire and your police, it's a no-brainer for LAFCO to come in and say, okay, it's time.
It.
And by that time, it may be academic, but nobody will care. I don't know. I would care, I think.
Yeah.
And the other thing that Brown Taylor pointed out to me when I had breakfast with him one day, and we were talking about this a very long time ago, 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, was that even though he personally advocated contracting out for economic reasons, we had conversation. And by the end of that conversation, what he was telling me was that basically one loses control over costs. Mm-hmm. And he was describing to me a community down on the peninsula who had gone to contracting, I believe it was with the sheriff, only to discover after 3 years into it that it's too late to reconstitute your own police department. It's over. Permanent. It's a very permanent decision. This is a very permanent decision. That the sheriff was calling the tune, and they had lost control of the costs, and they were not happy campers. And it's from experiences like that that I hope. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's in comments. I'm going to ask that just because we really want to meet the 10 or we've got a closed session coming up, that we keep our comments a little deeper just for the last part.
Okay, I'll talk very fast. Merger, you've got no guarantee that you get the same amount of property tax money back through a merged or consolidated district. The differences are set there because of what the base budgets were for the Prop 13 allocation. I find a difference between item 3 on this page and item 3 on this page of $5,000 in savings, and also wonder why this $20,000 savings there on workers' compensation. Is that assuming that we would destroy our police department, that we wouldn't have to pay workers' compensation anymore? I think the coverage question might be solved. I don't know right now how much time the chief has to get out on the street, but there might be a possibility of additional coverage there. And I would like you to all remember that when the fire district contracted with El Cerrito did not accept any lateral transfers of our firefighters, with the exception of one captain who was about to retire. And I just would not appreciate treating our police officers to a situation like that.
Thank you. Are there comments from the board? From the public for the board? Okay, thank you. Any thoughts?
I just want to say thank you for all the comments. It's good to hear what everybody's thinking. It's really good to include more discussion than just our own and the general manager staff and all that.
I think so too, and I always learn from everyone who speaks. And for that reason, John and I would be interested in a meeting. You know, surveys are quick and that sort of thing, but people who are at that meeting might learn from you, for instance, or someone else. And I like that kind of community learning that goes on, and this is a big issue.
I would agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying there's one meeting is not everybody's going to be able to come to one meeting.
Right,
and you don't have a room for 1,000 people, so.
We don't only have
smaller. Well, then you have to have a number of meetings, and if you guys are committed to the time commitment, final meetings.
Yeah, actually, you know, I think the suggestions we heard a lot of good suggestions tonight, and three that come from, well, I think having a larger public meeting is important because it. We got a lot of good comments today. I think we get a lot of good comments in a lot of public meetings. Mm-hmm. And we learn from that. I think doing a survey would be helpful. And I also think it would be helpful, even before we did that, it would be helpful for us to get, fine-tune a little bit where we think we are deficit-wise. You know, is it 15? Is it 100?
I think that's
good. So, I actually think maybe before we even schedule, I think before we schedule a public meeting, we should get pretty crystal clear on what kind of number we're talking about. Once we have that, then my proposal is we'd schedule a big public meeting, listen to more comments, come back together, sit through them and figure out, okay, then what are our really viable options, and then do some kind of survey. I think that would be a good way to go, and that's my suggestion. So, and I know the Finance Committee has been looking at some of these numbers. What's the take on the
Well, we're planning process? To meet on Tuesday, April 17th, to talk now that we have these ideas.
Okay.
But, and to review the, it's not to say that there will be numbers coming out, but that's on the team.
Okay. Perhaps what we should agendize, if that's the right term, is after the next board meeting, the next committee come back and make a presentation. So we can put that on the agenda, please.
Yep.
And we'll go from there. But I think there are very, very difficult issues. And I think the points around having somebody else manage our police department are important ones to keep in mind.
Yep.
Consideration. With that said, unless there's further board discussion, we are moving to closed session now. And we have one more item on the public, if I recall correctly, one more item on the regular meeting, which I am going to... Sorry? Yes, item 9 or 10 or 11 or
9.
So what I'm going to suggest is that we go to closed session and that we move the item, the last item for public session, to our next meeting.
That seems reasonable.
Do I have a second? Is there a second on that?
Yes, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Abstained? None. So item 9 gets moved to the next meeting, public meeting, and this public meeting is, I move that it's adjourned.
Excuse me, you got your report
after
your session.
So we're gonna adjourn the public meeting.
You have to come back into open session, have an open session, report what you just what you did in closed session, and then you adjourn your closed session.
Yeah. Doesn't that have a separate meeting?
No.
It's the end of this meeting.
All right. Thank you.
What did you do on Sunday?
Hey, back. You reported what you did.
We'll do that. So, we're moving to closed session.
We also need to send you in time.
I can get could I please have a copy of the agenda packet? And I'm willing to pay for the subject. You do. Please say your machine.
What at the public safety building?
I went there, but you know, lots of things you have to take home because they deal with financial matters, and I have certain things at home. I don't really remember them so well. And things. I need copies of financial papers, so I like to take them home, and I like to compare them with. So today I received one.
But the agenda packets are available at the public safety building a week before.
You mean you have additional ones? You have four? I did not know.
Okay, that's great. You can come on by any time.
About approximately a week before the regular meeting.
It's a long one. We didn't have it ready until about 72 hours before, which is the legal requirement, mm-hmm. 72 hours. So we absolutely always have it ready 72 hours before the meeting, but generally we try to do it.
Could I call you then at the office on Monday before our meeting and just ask, has it been done? Would you have one?
Yeah, you can always come by anytime.
Okay.
Okay, I can give you a copy.
That's great.
So, and if you want any of that,
well, thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm going to close that.
Oh.